We finished the last talk with a quote from Bhagavatam, the words of Shukdev Goswami, in which he marvels at the Supreme Lord being unlimited in all respects, but as a human child, appearing as a human child, Mother Yashoda considering him her own child, just like everyone else has children, and this is my child, and she had bound him to a wooden mortar with a rope. She did it after so much effort. It seemed like it wouldn't be possible to tie him, but she did it. She was successful. She conquered over that child by tying him up. So now he has become Damodar, one who is bound at the belly. But the Damodar Leela isn't complete. There's more to be heard about it. But in the meantime, let's consider Shukdev. He is the topmost Rasik devotee, relishing the pastimes of Krishna, speaking them to Parikshit. He's also speaking to so many other rishis and munis who are not on the level of Parikshit, even though Parikshit was a seemingly worldly man, a king, a family man, involved in politics, but he was actually much more advanced than many of these rishis who had given up the world simply to concentrate on spiritual advancement. But Shukadev is speaking the Bhagavatam not only for the benefit of highly advanced devotees like Parikshit, who can really and fully relish these pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, but Shukadev is also speaking for other transcendentalists, advanced persons. The Bhagavatam is not for gross materialists. But Shukadev is interspersing even these most sweet pastimes of Vrindavan with consideration, philosophical consideration. What's going on here? He's the Supreme Lord. He is beyond the understanding of even great rishis and munis, but still we try to understand him and keep it in perspective that he is so great, but he has allowed himself to be tied up. After so much effort by Mother Yashoda, the strings had always been two fingers too short, and the Vaishnava Acharyas explained that the two fingers of length or breadth of the two fingers, that represents that the devotee has to make their effort in devotional service. They have to have their svanishtha, they have to have their own great faith, which is manifest as endeavor to please Krishna. They have to have that. That's one finger. Mother Yashoda, her great endeavor to please Krishna by tying him up, although he was showing that he's not pleased at all. But for his sake, in his service, she wanted to tie him up. Not that she was, that's the whole point of the Leela. That means Leela. She's not thinking about how I am his servant and I have to act in Vatsalya Rasa and all that. All comes later. Others consider, Rupa Goswami and others consider the various ways of relating with Krishna, but she's simply completely absorbed in the mood of being the mother of Krishna. So it's her complete effort. She had to expend her effort to the maximum. Krishna didn't make it easy for her. He never makes it easy for his devotees. Well, maybe in Vaikuntha. But Vrindavan is a land where nothing is easy. And that's true up to the present day, as anyone who's spent some time or even a short time in Vrindavan can understand that Krishna's potency is still active there. He doesn't make it easy. Even if you want to enjoy your senses in Vrindavan, which is not meant for enjoying your senses, but now there's so many condominiums coming up and all modern facilities, but Vrindavan is such a place where nothing's easy. And especially if you really want to love Krishna, it doesn't come easy. It comes quickly. That's the great advantage of Vrindavan, that although it may take many, many lifetimes to come to the platform of love of God, but somehow or other, if someone sticks to Vrindavan, that the dham will push, force that person to have love of God. So you have to have a desire to have it, otherwise you can't stay there. And it can be very, very difficult in so many ways to stay there. I'm talking about here in the 21st century. But then we get love of God, and then you can go to Krishna in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, where everything is completely blissful. But it's blissful in a very, very different way to Dwaraka or Vaikuntha, in as much as there's so much apparent friction and difficulty in the pastimes. Actually, even in Dwaraka, there's always some kind of upheaval. But Krishna in Vrindavan is an impetuous boy, a naughty boy, most charming, most loving, and he just seems to attract difficulty to him. Either demons are attacking him, or he gets involved in quarrels with his friends. He's not a model child. He gives his mother so many difficulties. And of course, his love quarrels with the gopis. There's always some kind of friction going on, but it's bliss. He is unbounded in his power, unbounded in his bliss, and the boundlessness of his bliss is especially manifest in Vrindavan. Now Mother Yashoda is feeling very blissful after so much effort to tie him up. She said, yeah, did it. Got it, got him under control. He always wants to flout my control to show that I can't control him. But I showed him. I'm his mother. Now, how could she tie him up? He showed her, or his Leela Shakti showed her, that you can't tie him up. If he doesn't want to, you can't. But then in the end, he had to be tied up by Mother Yashoda because he couldn't go against her unlimitedly. He is unlimited, but he becomes under the control of his devotees. And again, Mother Yashoda isn't thinking any of these things. No one in Vrindavan is thinking any of these things. But we now, by the grace of Shukadev Goswami, Vyasadev, and all the acharyas, we can look at the pastimes from outside, so to speak, and relish them, and try to understand. Although it's not understandable, the unlimitedness of the Supreme Lord and how he becomes limited. And it's just mind-boggling how love conquers over power. It doesn't seem to work in this world. Power, especially in this Kali Yuga, power exhibited in a demoniac spirit doesn't care for love. Lust, for sure, but love. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to show that love is all-conquering, and it's really up to those who are his devotees or aspiring to be his devotees to take the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reverse the bulldozers of Kali Yuga, which just knock everything, just roll over everything and destroy it, knock everything down. Reverse it with the power of pure love, which we're discussing how Krishna, not willing to be bound, he was protesting, crying, sometimes getting angry and then crying and appealing to the other women who couldn't go against Yashoda. He didn't want to be bound. Then his mercy on Yashoda. Okay, you can bind me. Krishna is not calculating, but this is going on by his lila potency, that he lets himself be bound. He doesn't calculate. Has she done enough? Has she worked hard enough? But it just flows by love. We can try and say in a logical way how it works, but ultimately it's paralogical. It's above logic. So we can learn from this. We need his mercy, but he wants to see how hard we're going to try in his service. It's not an easygoing endeavor. This is true even at the highest. It's not that you come to the highest level and then everything, okay, it's all over. All right, let's have fun. Let's chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But at the highest level, there are the highest tests, and they don't end. The tests never end. It goes on forever. Krishna is charming, sweet, blissful, kind, beautiful. But life with Krishna isn't easy. The mother is happy. She tied him up. She's exhausted. She still has work to do in the house, but she really exerted herself so much. But she's happy. She doesn't mind exhausting herself to serve her child. And Krishna's happiness is seeing how much my devotee is exerting for my sake. This is love. Love is not just some feeling, but really giving ourselves. And again, it's not just giving ourselves emotionally, but even physically. We have to do something. We have to serve Krishna. We're eternal servants of Krishna. We have to serve him, give ourselves fully. What can we give to Krishna? He's complete, but he likes to see us with the infinitesimal ability that he gives us. He likes to see us exert ourselves more and more and more. And then we approach him who is infinite. How can we, the infinitesimal, approach he who is the infinite? By exerting ourselves, taking effort beyond what we think is our capacity. Krishna will give more and more and more capacity according to our desire and our efforts to serve him. So there he is. She's bound him up from the outside. He has no inside or outside, who cannot be tied by anything except love. As Shukadeva Goswami says, evang sandarshita hyanga Harina Britya Vashyata Svavashena Pi Krishna Yes Yedang Sheshvarang Vashe. He's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit with an affectionate term, Anga. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra. This is Srila Prabhupada's translation. He's fluffing out the translation. He's adding purport within the translation. So this entire universe with the great exalted demigods is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one special transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. This pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, it's quoting from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Darshayangs tadvidang loka atmano bhaktavashyatam. The same words, bhaktavashyata, brityavashyata. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotees, as stated in Brahma Sanghita. Ekopyaso rachiyatung jagadanda koting yajchaktirasti jagadanda chayayadantaha andantarastaparamanu chayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods. I'm just departing a little bit from the purport here. He's situated within the universe and within every atom and within the heart of every living being. Yet, back to the purport, he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind, but here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Yashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty-stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna, yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. Let's just think about this a little bit. Fear, this emotion of fear, when you're afraid of someone who's very powerful, imagine being under the control of someone who can hurt you, who can lock you up. They can just take you away and lock you up and keep you in prison for years. You become afraid of them. Krishna controls all such controllers. Krishna can be the most fearsome because he's the most powerful. Yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. He's afraid. It's not just a show. He's afraid. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee, but a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This brityavashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Well, that's what it means literally, but Srila Prabhupada explains, rather He is under the control of the servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senaya ubhayo madhye ratang sthapya mechuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore, one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. That's right, Krishna's not independent. That's what it says in this verse, right? Bhritya Vashyata, he's under the control of his devotee. So one may argue that Krishna also is not independent, but then Srila Prabhupada goes on to say in the purport, but this is one's ajnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Ah! Contradictory. Doesn't seem to make sense. Srila Prabhupada continues, everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Yeah. You might think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be worshipped by everyone and looked up to as the most powerful, respectable person? But Srila Prabhupada tells us here that someone who's always in control of everyone else and respected by someone else desires to sometimes be controlled by someone else. Who's going to control God? Srila Prabhupada explains, such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. And then we have next in the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, just astonished as he's relating these pastimes, says, Nemam varincho nabhavo, nashrir apyanga sangshraya, prasadam lebhire gopi, yattat prapa vimuktidat. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Such mercy to allow himself to be tied up. Such mercy that Mother Yashoda had to think that the Supreme Lord is my son, my child. Actually, there's no consideration of, no feeling. It's just not there in the mind of Mother Yashoda or in anyone in Vrindavan that we should relate to Krishna as the Supreme Lord. If that were to enter in their minds, it can't happen, but that would be rasa bas, because their feelings of pure spontaneous love for Krishna are beyond the platform of thinking of him as the Supreme. That's Vrindavan. That's what Vrindavan is. Is unconditional love, but the condition for unconditional love is don't bring any conditions, such as thinking that he's the Supreme Lord. Krishna wants to be loved unlimitedly. The mother's love in this world is a reflection of the love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna. But that feeling that I have to protect Krishna, I have to tie him up to teach him a lesson so that he can learn for his own benefit. She can't have that. If she were to know that he is the Supreme Lord, she's eternally the mother of Krishna. And Krishna is eternally her son. And Krishna isn't going to get fed up of being her son at some point in time. Krishna is eternally presiding over everything. But more important to Krishna himself than being the Supreme Lord of all that be is to be the son of Yashoda and tied up by her. It's impossible that she can ever know that he's the Supreme Lord. That is her glory. She gives glory, Yashoda, the meaning of her name, but her own glory is that she doesn't recognize, there's no place in her psyche for the glory of Krishna. She thinks herself very glorious. Now I tied him up. See, I did it. She doesn't think I tied him up. He's the Supreme Lord and I tied him up. But she tied him up thinking, he's my naughty boy. And he's has some kind of mystic potency or something. He was resisting me. I tied him up. That is her glory. It's the glory of all the residents of Vrindavan that due to their intense love for Krishna, they'll never accept that he's the Supreme Lord. Shukdev Goswami again says, Aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajauka sam, yan mitrang paramanandam purnang brahma sanatanam. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Rajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal Supreme Brahman has become their friend. More exaltation from Shukadev. Nayang Sukhapo Bhagavan Dehinang Gopika Sutaha Gyaninang Chatma Bhutanam Yata Bhakti Matamiha. Bhagavan, he uses this word. Shukadev uses this word. Yashoda's not using it. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Who's the greatest transcendentalist? Someone who performs severe austerities, is a great scholar of Vedanta. Who's the greatest person in the world? Very powerful leader of nations. Mother Yashoda is much, 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 much greater than all of them. In Krishna's estimation, she's more to him than all these big, big people who their abilities and their achievements are anyway allowed by him or taking permission from him, taking power from him. But he doesn't care about that. He cares about the stick of Yashoda. He cares about the angry eyes of Yashoda. To him, or for him, there's no past and no future. What does that mean? That Krishna eternally lives in the present. When Krishna is being chased by Mother Yashoda, he's not thinking about the past or the future or the millions, trillions, quadzillions, unlimited numbers of planets that he's overseeing. He's just thinking how to get away from her. That's what it means. There's no past or no future for Krishna. We try to measure. Maya means trying to measure everything, time and space. But he's beyond all our measurements. He's beyond time. He's beyond space. He's beyond it, yet he is everything. At the same time, he is unlimited existence, knowledge, and bliss. Yet he is controlled by the love of Mother Yashoda. He's in this world. Vrindavan is in this world, but not in this world. Mother Yashoda, she thinks of herself as an ordinary woman, but she has nothing to do with this world. Everything in Vrindavan is completely transcendental. Even the strings he is tied up with, they're also completely transcendental. He can't be tied up by any ordinary string. Everything in Vrindavan is conscious. If one could be so fortunate, he could take the role of a string, one of the strings that ties up Krishna. Everything's fully conscious, living beings. He is called avyakta, unmanifest, unseen, because you can't see him. At the same time, he's called Martyalinga, which means he looks like an ordinary person, so we can see him. He's Naravapu, Narakriti. He's in the form of a human, or rather, the human form is a facsimile of his form. But he never has a mortal body. He's not a human. The form of humans resembles him. He cannot be tied. Why can't he be tied? Because he's not a material entity. Even spiritually, he can't be tied. He can't be tied by those who worship impersonal Brahman, those who worship Paramatma, those who worship Narayana in Vaikuntha. There's no tying up Krishna in Vaikuntha. For that matter, not even in Dwaraka or in Mathura. But here is Yashoda, tying him up. We can say it again and again. Unlimited Brahmas worship him, Shivas worship him, and Yashoda ties him up. It's mind-boggling. Who can tie him up? Yashoda can tie him up. We can't become Yashoda. We can become the servant of the servant. Radha can tie him up. The gopis can tie him up. By his mercy, he loves to be tied up. It's not for everyone. Don't go and tell this in the church. They'll be, or in the mosque, they'll be affronted. They'll think it's blasphemy to say that God can be tied up. But here he is, tied up with the ropes of love. But they're real ropes also. I mean, he is tied up. He can't get out of the ropes. He is tied up. He can't be tied up. He can at any moment free himself. Yat tat prapa vimukti dat. He is the one who gives freedom from bondage, but he is tied up. He can free himself theoretically, but the love of Yashoda by which she tied him up is stronger than his even thinking of himself as the Supreme Lord. This is all inconceivable. I'm saying these words. You are hearing them. What can we understand about it? Still, we need to say it. Shukadev says it. We say it, and in this way, our appreciation of Krishna increases. Everything about this pastime just goes against all logic and scientific laws. But why should the Supreme Unlimited be within the jurisdiction of logic? or so-called science, or measuring, or empiricism. Scientists presume as axiomatic that their laws must be universally valid in all times, places, and circumstances. Ah, these laws of the universe, they are for the conditioned souls who need conditions in which to function. But the only condition in the land of love, in the land of Vrindavan, is love. And everything else is molded according to the demands of love, not according to the laws of material nature. By Krishna's mercy, we can begin to understand this. And it again, it's not just something to be understood mentally, but it's an understanding that comes beginning with faith and developing gradually into attachment, feeling for Krishna, and then pure love. It's a long way to go from considering I'm the body to understanding theoretically I'm not the body, to practicing, acting on the platform that I'm not the body, to realize I'm not the body, to realize I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, to become completely devoid of any desire other than to do everything, mind, body, words, everything, soul, our very being, everything for Krishna's pleasure. And then there comes a time when we are eventually admitted into the land of Vrindavan, if we can be so fortunate. Maybe as a blade of grass, maybe as a piece of dust, maybe as a ribbon for tying Krishna, maybe as a cow, maybe as a gopi. Krishna's mercy. He comes to this world to exhibit such pastimes and invite us to join him there. Not by measuring tendency, but by accepting him as immeasurable and aspiring to partake in that immeasurable love, immeasurable service. Who can measure the service that Yashoda does to Krishna by pleasing him so much that she can tie him up, and she pleases him so much by tying him up? Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Not even Lakshmi, who eternally resides on the chest of Narayana, she cannot even enter Vrindavan. She stays on the other side of the river, reverently watching, because she's Lakshmi, she has another service to do. We are not to belittle her, but rather be astonished at how Nashriyarapyanga Sangshraya, how she, who as Srila Prabhupada translates this, she is the better half of the Supreme Lord. Even she has no entrance into these pastimes. And yet, Shukadev Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the acharyas, they're making it available, possible, giving the possibility to us. Everyone can go. It's open to everyone. If we can develop such a strong feeling to serve the servants of Yashoda, that will be the qualification for being allowed into the path back to Vrindavan. Great obstacle on the path to Vrindavan is this measuring tendency. I have to know it all. I have to understand it all. I can't accept it unless I personally, directly experience it. Faith has to be there. We can't push our way into the association of God. We have to give up our self-centered tendency. The greatest philosophers, the greatest knowers, who are they? The Upanishads, Brahma, Uddhava, Krishna's very close friend, all highly qualified intellectually. They all became charmed by seeing Krishna's charming pastimes. They all became disappointed at thinking that, well, I know so much. I'm close to Krishna. I'm close to the Absolute Truth. And when they came to perceive the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, they understood that for all our vast knowledge, our keen intellect and discerning spirit, we are not fit due to this idea that I know so much. We are not fit even to become dust at the lotus feet of a servant of Mother Yashoda. Inconceivable, but it is possible. It is possible to go. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has opened it up. What is not possible for Lakshmi, because she always thinks, I am Lakshmi, she's eternally Lakshmi. It's being opened up to those of us who are fallen in this material world to go beyond all the higher planets, beyond the Vaikunthas, all the way up to Vrindavan. It's possible. We should hear these pastimes. In the same time, we should hear them in the way that Shukadev has presented them. On the one hand, seeing the practically indescribable good fortune of Yashoda in not knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. At the same time, Shukadev is again and again reminding his audience, those who are listening to him, that this is the Supreme Lord. Don't you forget. Yashoda forgets, but until we get to that level, we should approach with caution, with awe, with reverence, to cultivate our service spirit. Service spirit means, what are we going to do? We're going to try and tie up Krishna? No. Krishna makes the system. We have to serve his devotees. Well, where will we find? We don't find Yashoda. Where is Yashoda? Where are the servants of Yashoda? Well, the deity is there, we can serve. And there are also those who speak on these topics, distribute these topics. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibi iritam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhuvigranti ye bhurida jana. Those who speak these topics, those who speak these nectarian topics of Krishna, they are giving nectar to revive us who are burning in this fire of material life. Such words are worshipable even by great, great scholars. They bring all good fortunes just by hearing. So those who speak and endeavor to bring this knowledge of Krishna to others, they should be served. This is Krishna's system. By hearing about these pastimes of Krishna, purifying our ear, purifying our mind, purifying our heart by this process, then the desire to serve Krishna awakens within the heart. Purification of consciousness means, it's well known among Hindus who take some interest in spiritual culture, that we have to get free from lust, greed, anger, kam, krodh, lobh, all these things. This is purification of heart. But the real positive manifestation of purification of heart is the desire, the willingness to serve Krishna, which begins by serving his devotees. It's Krishna's great mercy that these pastimes like Damodar Leela are there in the Bhagavatam, and that there are devotees in the world who speak on these topics, which appear to be just some stories from some village, but they're actually beyond time and space, enacted as if within time and space, beyond time and space, by hearing which we can go beyond the limitations, the conditioning of time and space. Understanding that that love of Krishna, as exhibited by Mother Yashoda and all the residents of Vrindavan, it is as unlimited and pure as Krishna himself. And it's always available, just as Krishna, he makes himself available. It might seem that Vrindavan is an area in the district of Mathura, in Uttar Pradesh, but it is unlimited. How big is Vrindavan? Unlimited. How big is the love of Vrindavan? Unlimited. These are all secrets not available to those who want to measure everything and classify everything and stratify everything. Begins with the ear by hearing. Hearing, 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 and then we have to do service. We're given service to do in the association of devotees so that we can awaken. What happens? It's once the ball starts rolling, it just picks up more and more and more and more and more. Beyond knowledge of God is love of God. This is what we are to learn through the pastime of the Damodar Leela. And we still have to get through. It's not over yet, by any means. What's Krishna going to do now he's tied up? He's an unpredictable, precocious child. What's he going to do next? Well, next thing, he's going to do another amazing pastime of pulling down the Yamalarjuna trees. Krishna willing,